What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Now through six episodes of Pluribus.
Look at you.
Rounding the corner, headed for home. Doug might actually finish a TV series.
Any chance that once you finish that, you're going to start on Benjamin Button?
I've got a list of movies I want to watch that was not on it, but maybe I'll add it based upon your... See, I don't want to be depressed, though. I feel like you're making me watch a movie that evoked emotion.
It's reflective. I don't know if it's depressing. Part of it is, but also some stuff is kind of uplifting and, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, I think for you, being a father and having raised three children mm-hmm. into adulthood at this point. I think it's, you can reflect on that and be proud of it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
And I do believe you have a soul, unlike Kang. So.
Because Kang didn't cry during Benjamin Button?
Man, how bad were the Wings playing last night, man? That made you switch and wanted to cry.
I would rather watch something that makes me cry than watch this hockey game.
You are... Jeez, man.
When I saw the movie in 2008, the Red Wings were on their way to the Stanley Cup.
Well, that's true.
I still cried then. It's all right.
Yeah, well.
I'm all right.
Yes, you are. Next up, Mark in Beverly Hills. An all-in move would be a willingness to find stars and studs to fill holes outside of your own. So you want to go outside the organization. Mark says go get a free agent or trade for a guy. No drastic, not dumping a quarterback. One thing to show commitment to a championship is getting a top offensive coordinator. Addressing the O-line is a given. And if they don't, that will be confirmation that they're running a business and not a championship sports team. Well, look, I mean, given the things that Brad Holmes said, it's pretty clear they're going to try. Brad Holmes made no bones about it. He does not. He does not think they have in-house answers. Wasn't that pretty clear in the messaging last week?
I think so. Yeah. But the question is, when you go out of house, how much can they spend?
Yeah, because they're over the cap right now. They got to restructure some contracts.
You know, replacing a player that, let's just throw a number, grades at 70, and you're replacing that player with a player that grades at 71 mm-hmm. isn't going to instill a whole lot of confidence. It's getting difference makers.
All right, if you want to keep talking Lions, you can. Yesterday, Nolan Arenado got traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Third baseman, yep.
Yep. A player that had been connected to Detroit, but I don't know if he was only speculation where writers saw a team in need and thought that Detroit might be interested. Alex Bregman, another third baseman, signs this week with the Cubs. What is your level of disappointment in seeing these moves happen, and we just don't really seem to be a player here in Detroit?
It's getting higher and higher. Like, last year's offseason moves were really pretty disappointing with the pitching staff, what they did. You know, getting Gleyber Torres was a little bit of an eyebrow raise. Like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Bringing him back this year is bittersweet because I think he's a pretty good second baseman, and if he's going to stay healthy, then I really like him. But, you know, he got hurt towards the end of the season, or the second half of the season wasn't the same because of dealing with lingering injuries. And you know, they would have had money freed up to go get somebody. And did that move, because it was a player option for that second year, and he opted back in with the Tigers, did that prevent the Tigers from going out and getting and bidding on Alex Bregman or others? It may have. And the money wasted last year, whether it was Alex Cobb or whatever, that's frustrating. And the Tigers do have money they can spend. And I want them to spend that money because I'm tired of living in the, oh, wait till world. I don't want to do that. And then you see what's going on with the arbitration with Tarek Skubal, and that's all very frustrating. I want them to be more proactive with all-star caliber players that have a real pedigree and not just projects. You know, it seems like every pitcher they bring in here, it's a project. It's a guy who showed promise because he had a high strikeout rate, or at one point his spin rate was this, and we think we can get him back. And that's great if you can turn that around, but you don't always turn that around. And, you know, there's only so much magic that the pitching staff can do to get this righted. But I want more players that have the cachet of being all-stars. So I wish that there was more done, particularly with the lineup and hitters. I was hoping that we might see some sort of trade that makes sense. Got a bunch of prospects. Go get a guy that makes sense and latch on to it. And you're hearing that Kyle Tucker, it was offered a $50 million a year deal by the Mets. That's the report that's going on right now. It's a short-term deal for $50 million annually. And maybe it's just a two-year deal. You know, could the Tigers get creative with doing something like that with Skubal? If they offered Skubal a two-year, $80 million contract, so he get a free agency in 2 years, mm-hmm. is that something that Boris would go, oh, well, hang on. So you pitched the year that you were going to pitch with them anyway, and then they're going to give you an extra year, but they're paying you $40 million for each year to do so. And I don't know if it would or wouldn't. I mean, it seems like Boris is hell-bent on doing this, but Boris is also, he's willing to say, we like the short-term deal. He did it with Bregman last year. Might get it done. I think, does he represent Tucker? I don't know if he represents Tucker or not, but it sounds like a Boris move. We know he represents Skubal. But are there, you know, could the Tigers do something like that with Bichette? If you're not completely sold on it, you don't want to do something long-term, but do something shorter term, but more money that could kind of protect yourself until the younger players, these prospects are willing, are up here and not willing, but up here and actually performing like the players you thought they were when you drafted them.
So a couple things here. One is, Tucker is not a Boris client.
Good to hear. But yep. Still, $50 million is the report.
Two is, all of what you've said makes sense, but it feels like a non-starter because...
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm at a point with this Tigers organization where I think it's zero part of their plan. And it's too bad to a certain extent, it's too bad because they're close. They're the favorite to win the division. They're the favorite to win the division. And they seem like they want to make moves on the shoulder of the roster. Like they just want to, they're signing guy like 18, 19, and 20 on their roster. Instead of looking to upgrade 1 through 9, 1 through 5, they're focused on bullpen help, which we're going to be happy. Like we're going to be happy with bullpen.
Yeah, I think the bullpen's going to be a nice part of this team. And they might still be, there's reports that the Tigers are still kicking the tires on a couple of starting pitchers like Lucas Giolito. They would certainly be an upgrade over what they had. But it's, you know, how long-term are these things? It never seems to be long-term with the starting pitchers that they're looking at. Evan Petzl of the Free Press had an article today that said that the Tigers actually had offered Skubal $19.8 million in the negotiation process. But when it came time for the arbitration, their final number, they dropped it to 19. And if that's true, it's like, why? Why would you have dropped it from 19.8 down to 19 million? And his article is interesting because it talks about the 19.8 would have eclipsed the number that David Price got, which set the record back in 2015, or at least was offered at 19.75, would have eclipsed that. And the percentage raise over, or actually the dollar raise over what he was making, would have set a record as well. It would have outdone what Jacob DeGrom got. So I don't know why, if that story is true, for them to go from 19.8 down to 19 is not good.
Well, there's a lot of moving parts with arbitration that we went over yesterday. It is an extremely complicated process that is, you know, I'm still learning about some of the nuance of it. Like, I didn't know there was a Major League Baseball labor relations group that recommended to teams what they offer. And, you know, the Tigers were in record territory, but this was not a move that was made an offer that was made that would lead to what I think is the best result. The best result is you win the World Series. The best result is you win the World Series within budget. And offering him $32 million and just saying, fine, if you want 32, we'll give you 32 for this year. We'll give you 32 gladly. Let's go win the World Series on your way out. Shake hands. Let's end this thing on a high note. We'll both be happy. You'll get what you want, which is free agency, and we'll get what we want, which is a ring. Let's go do this together. That's what everybody wants. So taking it to arbitration. Now, given people in the game have warned me that Boris wants a fight, and I'm not talking about people with the Tigers. Okay. It's not Tigers, but it's people in the game. Boris wants a fight. Boris wants to challenge the system. Boris wants to set new records with arbitration to help his clients in the future. Boris does these kinds of things that are self-serving and also client-serving. But so it's not like their side is without fault, at least according to the people I talked to. I'm going to learn more about it. But at the end of the day, I don't know why we aren't just focused on the possibility of the result, because giving him $32 million, that extra $13 million, and having him happy and having him want to win he says all the right things about Detroit. Wouldn't he want to give this organization and this town a World Series on his way out to his money cannon, generational money contract that he will get? That's what everybody would love. Us and him. We might love it more if he stayed here.
Yeah, but if he's a World Series title here with him, and then he leaves in free agency after they win a World Series, I don't think anybody would. Some people might have an issue, but most people would be like, don't care. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for letting us be World Series champs.
I'm in favor of saving money if you're going to spend it elsewhere. I'm not going to get mad at him for not doing it yet, but I don't think they're going to. It doesn't feel like they're saving this $13 million so they can put it towards Bichette.
No, it doesn't.
Or Tucker on a short-term contract. Like,
which is why, I'm always going to think, what would have happened if they didn't have to, if Gleyber Torres had not opted in?
Yeah.
Jack Flaherty, I think, was another one. Didn't he opt back in to get money? So it's, would that have been money spent on better players? I don't know. I don't know, but he's got his own plan, and his plan revolves around the guys that he has drafted, the guys that they're developing as prospects, and maybe it's all going to be vindicated in a few years because we'll see how great McGonigal and Max Clark are along with other players, maybe, and that's going to come at a time at the same time that guys like Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, and Kerry Carpenter are all entering free agency.
And I'm very appreciative for what they've done here. They built a winning team.
Yes.
They built a winning team
playoff team.
People didn't think it was going to happen. But and they may do it again, but they could really strengthen their position, and it just doesn't feel like they are they're in no rush. They're playing for tomorrow so much when today could be taken advantage of. 97-1.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.